This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The facts is that you're a copy and I'm the OG.
The facts is.
Yeah. It's dumb.
Yes, I am a hospital smell because I'm fuming.
Absolutely fuming. Well, hello. This is Privileged Drinks.
Drinks?
Yeah, I was thinking, and then I was like, I'm supposed to say the name.
You're gonna say Travis?
I'm Travis. And I'm Tyler. I am Travis.
And I'm Tyler.
And this is Privileged Drinks. All right, there we go.
It's a podcast
where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City,
which is in Utah.
Yes,
and we are here, even though there's no new episode.
Because we actually started this podcast with season two. We watched season one when it came out.
We did a very quick recap. We actually watched season one like all in one day.
Oh, that's right. Because right before season two.
Yeah.
We originally were, I have watched Housewives since they came out, but I was very put off by the Salt Lake City trailer because it just had a lot of, it like featured a lot of what seemed to be religious conflict. They were highlighting, which really didn't happen, but I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to,
I think they were attempting to show the like juxtaposition of these women who fight, who say cuss words, who drink, mixed in with like the religious part, because that is a big theme of the show. But I do remember when we first watched that trailer, we were like, is this whole show going to be like just about them fighting over their own religions? Because that's what it seemed like it would be from the trailer.
Right. So I was not interested in watching it. But then...
Ironic.
What?
4 years later, we have podcasts that we do every week.
Oh, right. But then our friends who didn't watch Housewives... That was the first one that they started.
Yes.
And they were just so gung-ho about it and that we should watch it before season two came out. So we did, and we loved it.
These were the friends that were on the Reality of On Twinks episode.
Yeah. And here we are.
So we decided to rewatch season one.
Yeah, because we never recapped it.
Because we never recapped it. And do a little 16-week... season in between the season.
Oh my god, it's 16.
It's 16 episodes.
Yes. Okay.
And this time around, we might not continue this strategy going forward, but like just for this off season, Travis is going to do one, then I'm going to do one. Like each week, each one person is going to take the notes and lead the discussion, basically. Because normally, if you're a full time listener, normally I do it and sometimes Travis will do it, but this time we're going to do every other week.
Yeah.
What?
Anyways,
should we do some housekeeping? And by housekeeping, I mean a couple of things like that have happened since the final episode aired.
Okay.
Lisa has bangs.
Oh, interesting. I haven't seen that.
Monica was doing the rounds at gay bars in Vegas.
Right.
She made a long post today I saw that was basically like, it felt like no one accepted me, but then like...
The gays do.
it wasn't really saying that, but I think she kind of is used to all the hate and hate and hate on the internet. And like, I understand from getting comments, it's easy to like only focus on the bad ones. But then when she went to like an event in person and saw so much love for her, then I think... It reinvigorated her spirit a little bit about how she was feeling about the show.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we have rumored two new housewives that are joining. Melee. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It could be Melee.
Wait, how do you spell it?
It is like M-E-I-L-E-I.
Oh. I'm not sure either. I think it's May, but I don't know.
And then the other one is Brittany, spelled B-R-I-T-A-N-I.
B-R-I-T-T-A-N-E-I-G-H.
Basically. Yeah. Supposedly, Melee, I'm sorry if that's pronounced wrong. We will find out soon. But is an MLM girly. Posting all on her Instagram.
Which one?
But she has a husband who's like 7 foot tall and really hot.
Oh, okay. Have you ever? I don't know that I've seen a 7 foot tall hot person.
Okay, well, I don't know if he's actually 7 foot tall. He's just really tall in the photos.
Oh, okay. I apologize to all the super tall people out there. And I'm sure there are hot 7 foot tall
people. You're literally like 6 foot five.
Okay, no, I'm barely. I'm like pushing 6'3", but I'm not even quite there. So I'm not that tall.
In my head, you're that tall. Anyway, not too much known on Brittany, though.
No what?
Not too much known on Brittany, but Melee is very rich, but also an MLM girly.
Mm.
Like she's selling these like smoothies or something like that, but it's basically like,
oh, I think I've heard
in order
of that
to buy
one.
The smoothie, you have to buy the membership, which costs $150 a month.
Oh.
And then you buy the smoothies after.
To sell it?
Or maybe
it?
It's a year.
You have to pay a fee and then you can sell it?
Yeah, basically.
Oh.
I watched a girl do a whole deep dive on her Instagram.
I forget about how they determine if something's like an illegal MLM. And it's, but I think it has to do with if the majority or if like the profit comes for like the people higher up the chain are making money because of you buying product from them, not the sales of the products to people.
Yeah. And also, obviously, I'm sure she's about to be on the show. They've done background checks. She doesn't want another situation. I would assume.
We do not have a good track record.
I mean, that's true. For but I would assume checks. That she knows like what's legal and what's not legal. And if it was illegal, then she would be taking it off her Instagram. Mm-hmm. So. But should be an interesting addition to the group. So we'll see. Not too much else new. So I guess we can just go ahead and jump into the epi.
Okay, thank you so much for that.
I'm gonna be your weekly reporter on all things happening on Twitter, basically.
Okay. Well, let us journey back in time to a land of unconvicted criminals, bad weather, and brunette BFFs.
Who we thought looked identical for some reason.
This is
5 years ago.
I know.
That they're filming this.
So we open the season with an intro to Utah and the stunning mountain vistas. I remember the first time we watched this, I was gagged, gooped, and jaw dropped over how pretty it looked on camera.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to go since then, and we still haven't gone, which is fine, but like I still really would like to see. I don't see myself ever wanting to live in a place such as Utah, mm-hmm, but I would like to lay eyeballs upon it. I do love a mountain, and I do love the winter.
I can see you wanting to move there.
I don't know. The Mormons are kind of scary. Just kidding, Mormons. Ha!
For being a gay person.
Oh, right, true. And, you know, Salt Lake City apparently is a town full of beauty, wealth, and Mormons.
Sorry, it's not funny. It's just funny how they intro it.
I know.
The elite class of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they give us a few clips of the season coming up. A lot of discussing being Mormon. Mm-hmm. Especially Heather saying how hard it is. There's topics of fidelity. And, of course, we get a reference to the grandpa fucker situation. Mm-hmm. Which was a clip that they played a million times mm-hmm. to get people to watch this show. And all throughout the season, like on the next, I feel like they put it on every single next time on, or like the season.
Yeah,
there was always something about grandpa.
Well, I saw a clip, and it was basically a producer saying that, or it wasn't a clip; it was an interview. But before they actually like cast the show, they didn't know if it was going to be Housewives or what it was going to be. All they knew was that they had Mary Cosby in on it, and they had her story. And they just knew they wanted to build a show around that, basically, because they were like, this needs to be on TLC or on Bravo or something.
Yeah. And that came out recently because originally Lisa had made it sound like she was a driving force around mm-hmm. the show coming to Salt Lake and being Kat, and she was involved in like getting people on the show, which was true about her being involved in the casting part, mm-hmm. I guess, but we did not know until recently that Mary was the whole reason the thing started.
They were like, we have this character, this crazy story.
Exactly. Let's build and she it. Must be on TV.
Yeah, basically.
Which, I mean, they're not wrong about that. I don't know if the Housewives format is the best for Mary, but I don't blame them for giving it a shot. Did the montage stir any memories of your first watch through? Anything you looking forward to?
Honestly, what I was surprised was not in the montage was Jen throwing the drink at Shaw's party.
I couldn't remember if that was season one or season two.
I couldn't. I was kind of shocked. I'm excited to see, not excited, but like, it's interesting to see them kind of putting Mary and Whitney as like a duo. And I kind of forgot that.
Oh, about that. I did not. Because that's why they had their little dinner, you know. It just went left.
I know. But, no, there's a couple other things I wanted to touch on, but it's not in, from the intro part. It's from the this episode, so.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and run through our taglines. Season one, we start off with Miss Criminal herself, Jen Cha. She says, in this town, I'm Queen Bee and MVP.
Boot.
Yeah, it's a boot. Also, I mean, kind of redundant, right? If you're the Queen Bee, you're the MVP.
Yeah.
Anyways, Lisa Barlow. When you take cheap shots, always expect a hangover. I thought this was pretty clever.
Yeah, because she owns tequila companies.
Which multiple. Yes, okay. I was saving this. This comes later, but we all know she has Vita tequila.
Yeah.
She has two
Olaf tequila.
Two other ones.
What's the point of three? I'm sorry. I just don't get it.
And I was like, did they just buy these from other people and still sell them?
Probably. That's what it is.
Maybe they consolidated all of it to Vita. I don't know. And they said they were doing vodka, but I've never heard of that.
Vita looks the most, I bet Vita is the most high end luxe one. So then they just put all their money toward that.
Gotcha.
If I guess.
All right. Next we have Whitney Rose. The Rose isn't scared to handle a little prick.
That's good.
This Rose is scared to handle a little prick. Although, you know, does the Rose, anyways, it's okay.
I forgot
it's fine.
How much of kind of like a badass Whitney was season one.
A badass. Yeah, I actually have a lot of opinions on, I feel like the same way with Whitney and Heather, like maybe not in the same exact way, but they both have really changed how they present themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's because of, you know, how they handle social media. But,
and their kids, I think.
Oh, right. And then we get Meredith Marks. Jealousy is a disease, to which I say, get well soon. I really like this one.
Boot.
You think it's a boot? I liked it.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know that it fits Meredith super well.
That's
from what you know about her. But I think as a line, I think it's a good one.
Oh, and even in the like two trailers we got for coming up this season, they show the disengaged part so many times. I'm surprised that wasn't her tagline.
Yeah.
For season one.
Mm-hmm. They probably tried to make it work.
My marriage isn't the only thing getting disengaged.
Oh, you pulled that right out of center.
Sorry, that just hurt. I forgot that was her whole thing.
Inspiration. Then we get Mary Cosby. I love God, but I will read you like a scripture. This was good. Shoot.
In gay terms, boot is bad, toot is good, shoot is great.
Yeah. And finally, we have Heather Gay. Just like my pioneer ancestors, I'm trying to blaze a new trail.
That's iconic.
Yes.
For Heather.
I just feel like, I can't remember. I feel like all of her taglines kind of revolve around the same theme of like
pioneers
and Mormons. And like,
he loves the Pioneer Day.
It kind of reminds me of Al on Beverly Hills. Kyle always has something like, this town in Beverly Hills, I grew up in this town.
What about this? Word on the street is, I'm the word on the street. And then this, word on the street is, I'm still the word on the street. Wasn't that literally her like, Giselle's second time?
Yeah, probably. Okay.
Okay, can I just say, where are their new outfits? It's been 4 years. Why is Heather still wearing the boxiest cheap silver dress we've ever seen?
You know,
why
is Lisa still wearing those
chunky weird boots?
Oh, okay. I didn't realize those were season one. I didn't even notice it.
I always notice it.
I didn't even pay attention to the transitions. I was taking notes, though, so that might be why. But
yeah.
Yeah, those boots are
a boot
atrocious. You know, and I don't say, always say nice things about Lisa's style, which, I mean, pot calling the kettle black, because I don't really have style. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, she does brag a lot about things. And yes. I'm just like, who did this and why?
There were some bad looks this episode, I will say.
And it's kind of weird. Money. It's kind of weird because I feel like this show is popular. And like other series like Beverly Hills, which maybe is part of their contract or something, but they like redo theirs regularly.
Yeah.
But some franchises won't, like, don't touch them for years and years.
I just don't really understand how coming in for a Green Day shoot for one day, like, I don't really understand why
such a hassle. Yeah.
Yeah. And they give like new cast members one. Like, why can't they just redo all?
Right.
That?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Like, just redo it. Okay, well, so
especially because Heather looks like a different person.
Well, I mean,
now,
you could really see. I wonder if she's done multiple things, because if you haven't seen Heather recently, it looks like her jawline has been severely, and by severe, I mean, okay, don't be dramatic, Travis. It's been
shaved
down, because she has a very kind of angular, like more of a square jaw than she does now.
Yeah.
But I also was looking at it like, maybe this is not the first time she's done it, because it does look more pronounced in this than it is. But it could be makeup or something, or fillers or whatever.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. Okay, well, our first introduction is actually to the confected felon, Jen. We actually open with her and her husband Sharif in the kitchen making breakfast for their boys, and we are also getting her introduction via confessional. So how did you think she looked? Did you have anything? I had thoughts about her appearance, but you go first.
It looked like her eyebrows were tattooed on.
Oh, really?
Like there was a shine across the whole thing that made it look like there was no hair there.
Oh.
And then when they were showing all the old photos of her, it definitely was like she had the plucked, tiny, thin eyebrows. And I'm like, they never grew back.
Oh, I see. I didn't notice any of that.
What did you notice about
when you mentioned her eyebrow? I was like, I didn't really. I looked at it and I was like, it doesn't look like crazy to me. I don't know. I just was like, she looked more real, and she looked so small in comparison to like later seasons.
Huh.
I was like, she looks so tiny. Like, her head looks tiny for some reason. I don't know if it's, like, the way they filmed it. Also, I just think she had less, like, fillers in her face than she did later on. But she just looked, like, it also makes me think of, like, sometimes I think when people get all this stuff done, they look, like she didn't necessarily look younger than she, you know what I'm saying? She still looks her age, but somehow she looks less old. And then I'm like, I think maybe I associate like the plastic surgery fillers and all that stuff with like.
You mean she looks less old like now than she did in this?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I know she gets older, but sometimes I think the work people get done ages them.
So you think she looks older currently or when we in this episode? I'm confused.
I think she looks her age.
which part do you think she looks older? Now or then?
I think she looks...
Oh my god. Because I feel this way with Michelle Visage. Like, currently she looks younger than she did 5 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think...
Is that what you mean?
No.
So you're just saying, in 5 years, she looks older. She aged.
No, but yes. I think she could still look the same age. Like, it would be hard to tell because some of those things she's done make her look, you know, she's smoother. But I also think if you do enough work on your face like that, then you just look old because people, like, I think you just know now. You associate that, so, like, that's an older lady trying to, like, pass for younger.
Gotcha, okay.
Anyways, so the fact that she still looked her age but, like, didn't have all the stuff, I was like, oh, she seems younger, mm-hmm. even though she doesn't necessarily, like, look like a child mm-hmm. or whatever. Anyways. Okay, well, she's letting us know that she is of Tongan and Hawaiian heritage. She has a sprinkle of Chinese. But for all intents and purposes, she is a Utah black person mm-hmm. because they don't know any better. Right away, just letting us know there's some racial undertones mm-hmm. in Utah. No surprise there. as her interaction with the kids, Jen also says that her husband is a coach. He works at, I think it's a Division I school. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't really pay too much attention to this, but because he's a football coach, he's very busy and they have a FaceTime marriage, mm-hmm. which does not bode well, as a season 1 marriage comment. Mm-hmm. So I remember the thinking, I'm surprised, you know, that they're still.
Well, I remember
together well, based
and
on
now
that.
They're FaceTime marriage yet again.
Yeah. But I think that's more of a comment on his dedication, at least maybe to the concept of marriage. I don't know. I mean, he shoots convicted no, criminal.
Did you understand what I was saying?
Yeah, because she's in prison.
Okay. I kind of forgot how much of, like, an impact this had. Like, season 2, she's, like, crying all the time and, like, being like, you were never there for me to coach. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am seeing that now.
Right.
More so.
It's, like, one of the first things she said about him.
Right.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, hello.
They also all looked so uncomfortable being on camera.
Yes. I noted that specifically about Heather. But, I mean, I guess you could say it for all of
them. I thought it about Whitney.
I thought it about Heather. I didn't think, and I guess a little Meredith. Actually, I didn't think Lisa was that awkward.
No, I didn't think so.
So.
Okay, they have a little bit of, like, a sex talk.
Oh, that's at the very end. But she also tells us how they met. He approached her. It was... We didn't get a lot of details, but, like, you know, she was interested. That was all they wrote. She was raised Mormon and he was raised Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
She initially asked him to convert to Mormonism. However, he educated her on the fact that Mormons did not accept black people as right. members until the 70s.
And he needs to educate Lisa Barlow, apparently, too.
Right. and so that was not going to be happening. This caused Jen to question her own ties to Mormon religion, in which she eventually left and converted to Islam. So she's our first ex-Mormon on the show, one of many.
True.
And like you said, the scene ends with them talking about sex with their youngest child, which some housewives always do on this show. It's always very awkward
except
and
she
cringy.
Says you can get AIDS from kissing.
Yeah, she...
it supposed to be a joke?
Yeah, if you kiss a girl, you can contract herpes, maybe AIDS, and if someone sexts you, then you block them. And I was
just
like,
maybe don't joke about AIDS with, like, a 14-year-old who doesn't know anything.
Yeah. I mean, this just seems really healthy. I feel like this is common with religious families because of, like, abstinence faith mm-hmm. teaching, where it's like the fear of doing something wrong sexually and the impact it has on your, like, religious life or whatever, you know, they just say stuff like this mm-hmm. which it's not helpful. You should, like, this is a part of life and yeah. you should guide your children into adulthood, and that part of that is explaining that.
Yeah.
So buck up, buttercup. Stop lying. Any other thoughts about Jen? No? Okay. So next we visit Heather at a beauty lab, her business. And this is the first time I noted, I was like, immediately she's, like, super awkward because she was at the counter watching her employee on the phone and she's like, what did she say? Gosh, making money.
Yeah.
I was like, I immediately was outside imagining being like in production and watching this woman like not know what to do and just kind of staring at the counter. I was like, okay, this is weird. But anyway, she's there with her daughters. They're getting, or at least her daughters are getting facials. And she gives us a little background on her business. You know, they started from nothing. Now they do millions in revenue. But attaining perfection is an ideal in Mormon culture. And so
I forgot about this part.
She attributes their success to that Mormon pastime.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Which made me wonder. I was like, I'm surprised because of all the fallout she has, you know, or she says she has is because of her, you know, portrayal of her anti-Mormonism or whatever, yeah, her book, that her business hasn't really suffered.
I was thinking that too, but I do think like, the farther time goes on, probably the more people there are like Heather. Like, there's always going to be more
another mountain
leaving Mormonism.
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be enough people to fill Beauty Lab that either are fans of her, have left the church, or don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I think she's at a point now where fame is going to could be enough for her business as long as she keeps a good.
I mean, hell, I'm just from people visiting image. Salt Lake alone.
Exactly. And they're only people who have a gendered, but they call Botox for men Brotox. And I just think that's really funny. You have to like, you know, make things okay.
Like
for men
dude today. Wipes.
Yeah, exactly. They're the same, but we have to call them different so men will use them.
Black packaging.
No, right. Because God forbid a man has a wipe out of a colored package. Anyways. Also, speaking of Mormons, she lets us know her family history. So first, she's from a long line of Mormons. Her ancestors were pioneers who came across the plains. Which, you know, also makes you think of Manifest Destiny and stealing land from indigenous people and all that stuff.
I just kind of, this is the part that I was going to talk about, is that I just kind of forgot. Like, I know she says she has like a long history and all this stuff, but I kind of never thought about the fact that like, she's kind of stopping that lineage.
Yeah, all the descendants from those people are Mormon, and so she's kind of the first.
And her daughters will probably be the first in that family to, like, break away from that church.
But, I mean, I'm sure this is not entirely, like, she can't know for sure.
She has siblings, too.
Well, I mean, all the descendants from her great-great-grandpa, I mean, like, there's like, far-removed cousins, I'm
true,
sure.
But, I mean, there's just, like, that's also part of her leaving the church is, like, her giving up that whole history.
Yeah, we're learning that Mormonism is a big part of her life, her family life and culture. And so her being distanced from it is a big deal.
Yeah.
We also learn that she is divorced. She had married into as she called it, extreme wealth.
I forgot how extreme the wealth.
Yeah, so the gay family are billionaires. Now, she doesn't say that her husband was a billionaire. I remember first watching it that that's what I thought. So I was kind of confused based off her circumstances and like the support that she got that she would have more.
Girl, you know when you get that much support for like after a divorce, like that he's loaded.
Right. But I mean, considering the house she lives in, to be from have been married into a billionaire family, like if her husband had been a billionaire, but I would expect.
That's just the house that she gets for like not even having to have.
Okay.
And she's so in her business.
So this is what I'm not saying is that she is living poorly. But what I am saying is that she is living at a means I was surprised. I'm surprised after being married to somebody that wealthy. So it makes me think that his family is super wealthy, but maybe he was like, I don't think he was a billionaire, but I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of details and we never have about why they divorced.
Right.
I don't know if it's in her book or not, but they never really say on the show. So I think they're just staying away from, I think maybe that's probably part of her deal with being on the show is that she's not going really going to go there.
Yeah.
But divorce is a big no-no in the Mormon church. And she's basically saying that all the things that she's attracted to in life, which interestingly, I don't know, stood out, but I can't remember everything she said, but rap and black men were part of it.
Yeah, and gays.
And gays. And I was, which, and none of those are bad. I don't know. It was just
the way
like
she phrased it was funny.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
She says basically like, in the Mormon church, you're not allowed to be XYZ, but I love black men and gays. Like the way she phrased it was like, okay.
Yes. Just further evidence that Mormons are white and racist. And so with that, we have our second former Mormon. Although she's not fully for, I don't know. She doesn't say she's like left the church per se, but she's talking very much like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, we're going to get introductions to Meredith, which starts off with the voice of her impatient and youngest child, Brooks. We learn that he is one of three children that she has. The oldest is never on the show, but him and his sister,
which is her
daughter, sometimes. They're all going to go hiking together, which is a very un-Meredith scene. In hindsight, but this is how we're introduced to them.
They're just like walking on a snowy hill. Like, they're not on a path. They're not on like, any kind of.
I know, and they call it hiking. So I was like, okay, this is a plant. And then no, we kind of already get the family tension, or at least a little tension between Meredith and Seth, because he's immediately asking how long are they going to be out, and he needs a business plan.
Yeah.
And Meredith says something like mildly snarky back. You know, whatever.
Yeah. I also like, she's like, what are you doing in Chicago? Like, it's like they clearly, the producers are like, you need to tell us what he's doing in Chicago naturally. Yeah. And she's like,
please,
what are you doing there? And he's like, my business.
Right. Tracing a whale.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we learned that Meredith grew up Jewish in Chicago.
I always forget that.
Mm-hmm. They moved to Utah 7 years prior, but for the past 5 years, they've only been living there part-time. So she's not really...
Whatever. She's like, I have to be here for my store.
Right, but she still only lives there part-time. Like you said, Seth is currently working out of Chicago.
Brooks does her makeup.
Also, okay. I mean, I know we try to be like sensitive because I think at the time, you know, he wasn't out. They didn't really discuss the sexuality, but he's like, but he's so gay.
He's literally opens up a lip. I can't even say the word. Clear coat lipstick. What's that fucking called? Lip gloss.
Oh yeah.
He opens up a lip gloss and holds it out to her like, and does her like lips with it. It's giving share.
He wasn't, they're in a space where he's not able to be himself maybe sometimes. I thought they lived part-time in New York, so
they do, and he did come out. I think he just didn't want like people talking about his sexuality online,
which I don't blame him for that.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Anyways, now she also talks about, they also show a photo of her wedding and she looks so different.
Yeah, she does.
And I don't feel like Meredith's had like a ton of work done, but I also think she looks different from different angles all the time that I see her. I'm like, wow, like,
off season, she looks like a different person in each
photo. That's phase two. She's FaceTune.
She says she doesn't FaceTune them.
Okay. Photoshop? I don't know. Anyways.
After effects.
But if you look at her, I mean, her face is still the same. She just has like, I don't know. She just looks different for different angles, I guess. But her wedding photo did not look like her at all. Like, yeah, who is that?
She's also wearing one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in her confessional.
Like you said, you can tell either they didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I also think you just don't know what you're going to look like on camera.
Yeah, true.
Like how things read on camera too, under the lights. And like, I think sometimes you have to dress up more than you think you do in order to come off the way you want. And maybe with makeup too. I don't know. Did you notice any of their makeups being weird? I can't.
Jen's.
I thought, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I thought Lisa's, you could tell, was not,
she hadn't adopted the glam.
The full glamazon. At all times.
Okay, we can get to that.
Now, she's also telling us about her business. Like I said, she has to be there because of her business, but only part-time. But she doesn't want to be the sale. Also, so that's like, what she's saying.
How much money does that store make?
I know.
Actually,
but
how
then,
much does it lose in rent?
But what I don't remember, but what I don't remember her ever saying was that she dresses the stars. And this is where she name drops Charlize Theron, Rihanna, and Scarlett Johansson. A topic which has never come back up.
Yeah. I mean, pretty clear they just probably wore like one of her pieces of jewelry once.
Yeah. Maybe she had a moment, but it didn't really go anywhere. Like maybe at one point people were buying her. I don't know. They've just never really given her business that much attention, her jewelry business.
Probably what it was they had some, like, they probably came to Sundance. They sent their assistant out to go buy them a pair of earrings that match a dress or something.
Right.
For
I can see that.
Premiere. Like that, that's the only, like, having never heard of Meredith Marks or the store before this, that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
And they never really come back to it. It's not like she like is like, does this like celebrities wear her all the time now? So that's my thought.
Exactly. We also something not fully unique in Bravo, but like, they don't really do it on the show anymore, is a dual confessional where we have Seth and Meredith talking, you know, together.
Yeah, they did it for all of them in this one.
Yeah, well, that were married. And he says, currently he's doing great on... Oh, he says, you can never have enough wealth or sex.
Yeah.
Which, you know, problems in America, people not realizing that they don't need more just, billions of dollars.
I just forgot how sexual he was up from the jump.
Yeah. Okay, well, you should have known. but currently he's doing great on wealth, but not on sex. And Meredith considers this a mean statement, but Seth says they're going to be truthful because we had...
Yeah, Seth's like, didn't you sign up for this?
Yeah,
Meredith, I'm not talking about our sex life all the time.
Meredith said, I want to be untruthful, please. Thank you. So they're getting... we're getting more tension. It wasn't like so bad seeming at this point.
Not yet, yeah.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. They find bones on their little walk on the hill and they leave. okay. so next we're going to get introduced to Lisa. And she is a mom.
Craziest intro, honestly.
Really? The craziest? She's in mom mode waking up her kids.
Yes.
Why is this crazy?
She's waking up her kids to go to 5 different fast food places.
Oh, you know, I didn't put that together.
She's like, come on, get ready. It seems like they're getting ready for school. They go to Crumble Cookies, Sonic, Wendy's, Taco Bell, all in one trip.
You know, I wasn't even focusing on this, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
I was like, what is this? And then my head just kept thinking, this is the same woman who pays for glam every single day, but she doesn't have a private chef. Like, it just seems crazy.
Yeah. Henry's still young, so I don't think there's much of a like, I wasn't like, oh, Henry's so tiny because he's still tiny.
But he was so tiny though.
But Jack looks so tiny in comparison. I mean, he's like,
yeah,
grown now.
I thought Henry looked crazy tiny. Like he was like a child.
Yeah. So this is Lisa introduces herself, and we learn that she is from New York and she was not raised religious. At some point, however, a Mormon missionary came to their door and their family converted. She says at 17, you know, she finished high school and her parents said, go forth and make thy own way, daughter. And so she went to Utah. I don't really know. I guess maybe because at that point they were already converted.
She went to BYU.
Oh, okay. So she goes to BYU.
Because Heather and her know each other from school.
Right. Very that. So when this is where, well, I don't know if it was a school, but she meets John in Utah, who was on a missionary trip with her sister. Mm-hmm. Originally, her sister was crushing on John, but John wound up with Lisa, the better sister. Ooh, just kidding. She didn't say that. we learned that she owns a luxury marketing company, or this is what she says.
Yeah.
It is, as well as multiple alcohol brands.
And she's the queen of Sundance.
Well, they didn't really say that at this point, because really she does events at Sundance, but they didn't say that yet.
Well, I guess Jen says, I know Lisa through Sundance. She's the queen of Sundance.
Yes, later. Which we're going to get to later.
Yeah.
Yes, later. Where was I?
Is there anything else really from this scene that's of note? John,
she basically says,
when does the dog part happen?
I don't know, but she basically says they're not traditional parents and she doesn't care what people think. You know, they go to the fast food places. She doesn't cook. They've only sat down for a family at dinner like 10 times ever.
Ever.
And this is our first like soft intro to Mormon 2.0, where she is Mormon, but doesn't do things traditionally.
Right.
Okay. I don't know what the dog thing is.
Oh, she like put, John is going to take the dog out and he's wearing shorts and flip flops. And then she's like, it's too cold, and puts the dog in a sweater that the dog hates. Yeah. And I was like, you just wanted the dog to be in the dress on camera.
Right.
Because if John can walk outside wearing flip flops, it's not that cold.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel like you can go outside for a few minutes and you still like have enough heat.
Then the dog can too.
I mean, true. That's true. She did just want to dress up the dog. I don't know that we've ever seen that dog again, though.
Never.
Yeah. Do they show other dogs? I don't remember her.
I've never seen her have a dog.
Yeah, but apparently, and I think she still does this, they don't film the show at her actual house.
You see this?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I
believe it to be true.
A lot of people were, you said that in an episode, and a lot of people were commenting on the Instagram, like, how do we know this? And then I tried looking into it, and I couldn't really find anything about it.
Oh, I remember somebody talking about it. Somebody said it. I don't know. Maybe I just believed lies.
I don't know. It could be right.
But they were like, yeah, she doesn't want, like, and the conversation that I remember was basically like, she's the richest out of all of them. She films at a separate location because she doesn't want people to know, like, see her actual, like her house, her privacy or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking that again because, like, if she has dogs, maybe they keep them at
the other house.
Yes.
Maybe.
But now I have to like try to find this again.
Yeah, that'll be your homework for next week.
Okay, so we go back to Jen after this, and we're with Jen and Stu at Beauty Lab.
Hot Stu. Mm-hmm. First jump scare.
And this is just a soft launch here of Jen and
Heather's
relationship. Although, you know, we don't really talk about Stu at this point. But Jen frequents Beauty Lab. She's always looking for the new and best procedures. Blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
And in this one, she's getting Botox in her armpits, which is interesting because later we find out that the reason Mary was in the hospital so much is because she was getting her odor glands removed.
So apparently body stench is a concern in Salt Lake City. But basically Jen says she met Heather spitting rap lyrics. She was like, oh, a white woman in Utah who listens to rap music?
Yeah.
We're good. We can be friends.
I feel like Heather maybe got some slack from this season because she never talks about this anything to do with this part of her life ever again.
Yeah. She also said, what's up, boo-boo? Which is very... I was like, you never... Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Also never anything she ever
said. That could just be she's being weird on camera again.
Yeah.
What's up, boo-boo?
Yeah. But they're discussing Meredith's birthday. Jen is going to throw a party for her. A big extravaganza. She says, well, I think Heather says Studio 54 party. Jen says male strippers. Heather does not think that this is what Meredith would ever want.
Right.
And that is true.
Jen also calls it the Met Gala so many times. And I'm like, you're obsessed with the Met Gala because Mary later in the season has a Met Gala brunch.
Yeah, I feel like a few years ago the Met Gala was like very much more talked about than it is now. I don't know why I had a moment.
I feel like it still is pretty talked about, but
it is, but I feel like the run, I don't know, I felt like there was a fever dream for it for a minute.
Maybe. Because
especially with all the looks,
it was the camp.
The camp?
Camp.
Right, where nobody knew
camp
what it was.
Camp was the theme. Yeah.
Okay. So after this, we are finally introduced to Whitney.
Oh, yes.
And we see Heather walking up to her house. There seems to be a wedding ceremony going on, but we learn that it's actually a vow renewal.
They literally, for under Justin, they put like Whitney's fiance, they cross it out and put like husband.
Yeah. Just kidding, guys. But we first see her asking Bobby for her shoes. And I feel like I made a note of this because most of them were introduced with their children.
Yeah.
Or their family to some extent, except for Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she recounts how her and her husband of 10 years, who is 18 years older than her,
mm-hmm.
Justin, they met and had an office affair. Now, both of them were married to other people at the time, mm-hmm. so it was a double affair.
I forgot it was an office one until this episode.
Yeah. But basically, they wind up staying together. They divorce their former spouses. They get remarried to each other. She was 5 months pregnant at the time, and they were in front of 50 people, she says, who did not want them to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So because of this whole thing, they were both, I believe, excommunicated mm-hmm. from the Mormon church. So she is now our third ex-Mormon. And it's taken this long for her family to start coming around again from the fallout.
But her great ancestor was this guy,
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Shadrach Roundy, who was Joseph Smith?
Yeah.
Bodyguard. Mm-hmm. So basically she was like, one of my family members made sure that he didn't die. So he made the Mormon church be a thing, basically.
Yeah. So basically saying Whitney's family and ancestors have been Mormon since Mormonism has been around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a big deal that she's not Mormon anymore.
Also, some cousin or something finds her on the stairs and is like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't think you guys would make it 10 years. I was like, bitch.
And she's like, I'm sorry.
She says, thank you. And I was like, I slapped her.
Like, yeah. I was like, okay. What the heck?
But that was just to show that the family members that were so opposed to her 10 years ago are now like coming back around.
Right. And we do see clips of her other family members that are going to be in this season, like her dad, who they don't say anything about him, but he's there. And we also see a clip of her on a stripper pole because they feature that frequently in the first season.
She was on that pole for a long time and Heather was like screaming.
She's like, I'm losing my mind.
That's what she said. Yeah. I was like, I gotta remember that one. I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. So next we are back with two, federally convicted criminals, Jen and Stu. And here we're learning about their relationship. So he's her catch-all, basically. He's a personal and business assistant. He does it all.
Okay. She said something here and I was like, ooh.
She said that he knows everything. He knows more than Sharif knows.
And I was like,
ooh. He knows when her period is every month.
But more than Sharif knows? I'm like, so is she trying early on to make it seem like Sharif doesn't know anything?
No, I don't think Jen at this point knew she was being investigated or that anything like that was going to happen.
Gotcha.
I think they just have a bizarre relationship. Or not a bizarre, but like, you know, he's a man. She spends a lot of time with mm-hmm. him. He's basically her right hand.
Yeah.
And partner in crime. Literally.
Right, literally.
They're discussing party stuff because he's in more of a personal assistant role. Mm-hmm. I noted that they're having chocolate and raspberry cake, which she didn't like the idea of. And I don't either. I ate chocolate and white raspberry, some dessert when I was a kid.
White raspberry.
Oh, wait, no. White chocolate and raspberry. And I got so sick. And now the idea of chocolate and raspberry together of any kind is just kind of gross to me.
Well, that's just you because I love.
But I understood when she was like, this is gross. I was like, it is gross. I don't like it.
She didn't say it was gross. She was just like, let's make sure Meredith likes that.
Anyways. and she lets us know once again that she loves throwing big, over-the-top, extravagant parties.
Right.
It's her birthday, but it's kind of for me, too.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. So next we go to Meredith. Back to Meredith, who is meeting with Lisa. And this is kind of an introduction to their relationship. She's putting out food. She tells us that her and Lisa were actually set up on a friendship blind date. And they just talked for hours and hours. Lisa was late, very late, which this is not unusual, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone thinks they act alike and they look alike, which they kind of, I mean, you know, and the white brunette, they're both white and brunette. I was like, I don't.
Literally, that was it.
Right. That's what I was like, okay, all right, yeah, sure. But anyways, Jen shows up and she is saying that she met Lisa at Sundance. Like you said before, if you want to get to a party in Sundance, you have to kiss the Lisa Barlow ring. Mm-hmm. So, but
the $60,000 ring.
Yeah, right. Multiple. But yeah, so Lisa throws a lot of the Sundance parties. Because I thought she was an event planner. She says it as a luxury real estate marketing. So I guess maybe it's like a catch-all for like multiple types of marketing, including events.
She probably plans the events, but I don't know if her business is the planning part.
Yeah, so I'm a little confused exactly on that. But she's very involved at Sundance. And if you want to go to a party, you have to kiss the ring. She met Meredith a year prior to filming, in which Jen's saying she was not super impressed.
Right.
She does a kind of snooty impression of Meredith. I dress all the stars. and Meredith thought that Jen was feisty.
Yeah.
She's telling them she thinks the party's going to be low key and nobody believes that. And then Jen brings up from her conversation with Heather that
Heather
she was surprised that Lisa and Heather knew each other from college.
Yeah.
This is when Lisa says she does not remember her.
Right.
Even though she remembers her being a good time girl, apparently. Yeah. But she says she doesn't remember her. And she said she was like, honor code, what? And then she kind of like
flashes her tits.
Yeah. Mimics flashing her tits.
And they show Heather talking to Jen in like a flashback. And Jen is like, Heather's like, isn't it crazy? We've known each other for 20 years. We've kept in contact for years.
Like she said years and years. I think she said years and years of history.
Years and years of history. And then flash to Lisa saying like, I don't know her.
I don't know her.
Basically.
Yeah. Like, right. And Jen says,
which is funny, knowing from Heather's book that Lisa invited Heather to the show just 2 seconds just on camera.
To diss her.
Yeah, diss her. I was like, oh, girl.
So, but Jen in her confessionals is saying, you know, if I said I knew you and you were like, I don't know that bitch, I would be offended.
Right.
Which, hello. Yes.
Hello.
But, you know, kind of setting up that Jen and Heather are going to be on the same side.
Yeah.
And that's that. So next, we're finally introduced to Mary. Mm-hmm. Now, this one is not in Mary's home with her children. She does have a child. So she doesn't have children. She has a child.
She has Chanel purses.
Yeah. but she's actually meeting Mary. Wait.
She's meeting
Whitney. Yeah. No, Mary is meeting Whitney for dinner.
Yes.
Whitney says they met a few years ago through a cousin. Does not elaborate further on that. And basically says that Mary is without filter. She's fabulous. She's always dressed to the nines. And if she thinks it, she says it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, Mary looks better than I remember from the first watch through. Because I remember thinking for how she dresses, how much money she spends, I was like, oh, your wigs are kind of... I kind of remember. I think
one confessional, she has a really bad wig, I will say.
But I think in my memory, I changed it to be worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the only one that looks pretty decent, her normal.
She does, yeah. And she looks like, yeah, I mean, again, I know this was 5 years ago, but she kind of looks younger. But like, not 5 years younger, so I don't know. I'm just very confused by the time of it all. So she's talking about her vow renewal
vow renewal.
Yeah, her vow renewal.
The part that I thought seemed phony in this part was that she gets the text from Jen or whatever. Whitney gets a text from Jen and it's basically like, hey, I'm having this party, hope you can make it, blah, blah, blah. But like when she pulls the phone out, she's like, or she like looks down and she's like, oh, I wonder if there's a notification. Like it was very like, Producer gotta, says, gotta look at your phone.
Gotta check in.
Yeah, that's what she says. Gotta check in real quick. And then, like, looks in her purse. And then she's like, oh, I got a text from Jen.
Yeah. Production was productioning.
It just seems like they got better at, like, figuring out how to do it on their own.
Yeah, they're like, you must discuss each other on camera. And we do learn that Jen and Mary used to be okay with each other. They actually weirdly had a...
They had a clip that was clearly filmed from Bravo from 6 months before this. And I was like, where did, which makes how me long think have they was, been filming?
It makes me think it was like a test.
Yeah, probably.
Or something.
Where Jen gives her some shoes, basically.
Yeah. But they got into a fight because Mary tells Jen that she smelled like hospital, and this is unacceptable to Mary, who is triggered by the smell. And of course, Jen was offended because she was in the hospital with her aunt, who was having both of her legs amputated.
Yeah.
So we can all understand the offense here, but Mary does not. We also learn that...
It's just ironic because it's two women who can't say they're sorry on a cast together.
Yes. Jen does invite her, though, even though Jen would not have invited her to a party. She was on Meredith's guest list, so she is invited. Mm-hmm. We also learn that Mary is a preacher. Well, she's not Mormon or Jewish. She's Pentecostal.
Pentecostal.
That she is married to her grandmother's former husband.
Yeah.
Who is not her biological grandfather, so her step-grandfather.
Yes.
And of course, we get clips of everybody saying this is strange. Everybody knows about it, and it's really weird.
The confessional editing is very much like Girls Trip editing, where it's like quick back to back to back of what everybody says.
Yeah. She's the first lady of the church, which she inherited from her grandmother. And
she also says something like, this marriage was kind of arranged. And then he says, like, oh, when she died, she said, you have to marry one of my girls. So it's very much like he said, she said.
Yeah. Mary kind of alludes that it was in the will.
Yes.
He says that she told them if anything happens to her, she wants you to marry one of her girls. Now, she didn't say, she says girls, which doesn't necessarily mean granddaughters. I think because if she had actual daughters, mm-hmm. maybe she meant them too. Which I don't know if that was something, some kind of strife in the family. But Mary thinks they just digest it and they'll get over it. Mm-hmm. I guess it's kind of true because I don't really think about it anymore when I think of Mary.
Yeah, because they're basically divorced at this point.
Right. Well, and
he doesn't even live in the same house with her.
I know. But do you think at this point they're still like they were? I don't even think they were that close. I don't think her family is close.
No, I don't think so at all.
Yeah. But at the time,
because when they introduce her, she's literally just rummaging in her closet. Like they don't show her family dynamic at all.
Yeah.
And everyone else they do.
And I feel like, because he was a preacher. I mean, he was the preacher of the church, and she was the, like, first lady type preacher. I don't know. So I don't know what they're doing now.
Well, now the church isn't meeting, and he doesn't live in the same state, so.
Right. Okay, so. So anyways, we go back to Jen, who is setting up the party. I know she was wearing the Brooks Marks tracksuit.
Yeah.
Already.
And Meredith was wearing it earlier, too. I noticed that, too.
Mm-hmm. We just didn't know what it was. But it comes up later in a fashion show.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Iconic fashion show.
Yeah. So Jen's being a diva. She's stressing out about the party. People are not performing to her standards for this Met Gala, which, like you said, she says a million times. Heather shows up and is shocked by all the number of cars because I guess she somewhat believed it was going to be low key, but this is a production. Mm-hmm. And by production, she says inauguration. I don't know why she said that, but she did. We also see Jen talking about how, or basically Jen is hiding this from Coach Shaw because she doesn't.
The whole party.
They're taking everything out, setting everything up, and they're going to have to tear it all down before he gets back.
Right. Wait, is this when they... Do they ever say in this episode that it costs $80,000? When do they say that?
I think it was... It might be on the reunion. I'm not sure if it ever comes up in the show, but it does...
Okay.
She does spend $80,000 on this for somebody she barely knows, a birthday party. even though it was really for her as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it was a bad idea. It was like an investment into her introduction onto the show.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Whitney did her vow renewal. That's her intro to the show. Jen throws an $80,000 party.
Right. So
that is for Meredith, quote unquote, but has a million things that are just Shaw branded. Jen Shaw branded.
Yes. And also she says she doesn't need him asking any questions about how much money things cost, which
foreshadowing. Yeah.
That is a loaded statement. But Heather is inquiring as how her hangout with Lisa and Meredith went. And this is when Jen is telling Heather about Lisa's comment.
Right. The good time girl comment.
Yes. And
which Lisa never really says. Jen just says that Lisa said it.
Mm-hmm. So Heather's basically summarizing her feelings that she always feels dismissed with Lisa, like she's not good enough to be her friend. She doesn't fit the mold, but she still thinks it's weird to lie about. And Lisa thinks she's better than Heather, which, I mean, I think Lisa does think that at this time.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's a big diss. She's being a bitch. The good time girl comment. And which really strikes Heather because Heather wishes she had actually been a good time girl. She was a virgin when she got married. She lived, you know, to the letter of her family's religion and expectations. So I think this rubs her the wrong way because she feels like Lisa thinks she's better than her.
Lisa's the good time girl, really.
Oh, right. Yeah, she's Mormon.
And Heather wishes she could have been that.
Right. She shades her tequila company and says she's Mormon 2. Where she says, because she's Mormon 2.0, Jen says that. Yeah. And she says she's Mormon bullshit.
It's just East Coast, West Coast.
Oh, I know, East Coast versus West. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
She doesn't say that right there.
I know, about it. So then we go back to Meredith, who's getting I assume this was the same day as, oh yeah, because it's her birthday.
I think production probably just told Heather to go over there first and get ready with Jen so that they could have this moment before the party.
Yeah. And then we go back to Meredith's house. Brooks is in pain because he's been setting up all these.
Oh my God.
I don't know what he set up.
This is so weird.
I know. The florist comes in and has set up a million bajillion. Yeah, it's like a long rectangle of roses.
It does look like a coffin.
It does look like a coffin on a table. And then they dumped a million billion petals on the ground. Which I think they did overkill because it didn't look nice at that point.
Brooks has been lighting candles, they said.
Oh, that's what it is. And his back is in pain. Which, okay, whatever. He calls his dad and he says he doesn't want to. He asks if his dad is flying into the party because he doesn't want to go without Seth to this party.
And because it's Meredith's birthday. And you would think Meredith's Seth birthday. Would be there.
Mm-hmm. But he is not. Meredith comes in and says, she's like, oh my God, wow, what is all this? And Brooks hugs her and says, it's from your husband. And she goes, oh. It was just like really
It's
awkward.
Just so weird. Like, your son is hugging you because your dad couldn't be there for the romantic gesture. It's like weird.
Yeah. And it also was very like Valentine's Day to me, but not Valentine's Day.
It's very much like you're coming in. Here's a trail of roses to the sex tub or whatever. But then
but
it's her son. Yeah. Yeah. This is weird.
And she says, I know you did all the work. So she's already dismissing Seth of this gesture.
Yeah. She's moral of the story. She's mad because he's not going to be there for the birthday.
She would rather be there in person. She also, this is where we learn that if you don't force the truth out of her, she says she's 35, but really she's 48.
She's 48.
Then we get a montage of people getting ready. Jen setting up the tunnel. Brooks is helping his mom get dressed. The whole makeup thing.
Oh yeah, that's up.
Heather's getting ready. Lisa's getting ready. Lisa says, no matter what my zip code, I'm a New Yorker.
Because she only wears black to parties.
Yes. Which, does anything about Lisa scream New York to you? Also, I don't know. I don't even think she grew up in New York City. I think she grew up in New York State.
No part of me says that woman has ridden the subway.
So, okay. After this little montage, we're back to the party is set up. People are arriving. you know, it's, she spent $80,000. So it is a lavish soiree. We see some dummy come in and give Jen a gift for her birthday, but it's not Jen's birthday.
There were a couple like players in this.
Yeah.
That I forgot about.
Yeah. It felt like they were maybe testing some other people to join the cast at a later date.
She comes in and she's like, happy birthday. And Jen's like, my birthday was last month, bitch, or 2 months ago, bitch.
Yeah. My birthday was in October, but thank you.
And Mary's is December.
Mm-hmm.
There's a giant flower wall that says Shaw Chalet.
Yes.
Not happy birthday, Meredith.
Right.
Like for the step and repeat.
Which Meredith sees when she arrives. And then we see her in a confessional saying she knew the party was not for her.
Right.
There's
shirtless men everywhere as the servers.
Which honestly, I thought, okay. When they kept showing them, I was like, not to be, okay. And I am not downing anybody for their, physical looks or whatever, but like if you hire, I don't know.
Probably because there's not a caterer that says we are like basically half strippers, half caterers. They probably just forced these men who work for the catering company to not be wearing shirts.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward because I was like, I don't know that they do this. And also,
I don't think they do.
And then they also showed one that had a very like not great tattoo. I was like,
it felt like they just forced them to do that because she gave enough money toward it, is what I would guess.
Yeah. We also see Whitney saying that Justin would never miss her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
She would not allow it
mm-hmm.
when she makes whipping sound. Pew. Right. Heather tells Whitney about what Lisa said. I mean, this is like, you know, multiple conversations, like going back and forth. People are hungry. They're asking about food.
Mary says she won't eat the food because they're naked.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want pubic hair in my food. Which, I mean, I guess
shirtless, not pantsless.
No, I know.
That's my new charity.
Shirtless, not pantsless. now, Jen comes downstairs late, a little late, which I don't think is weird to, you know, not be there at the very beginning.
Yeah.
If you have other people to greet or whatever, like a whole production going on, which she did. But I agree with Lisa, who says, I would never make a grand entrance at a party I'm throwing for someone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, clearly this is about Jen and not about her at all. And she even flew in dancers from
Tonga.
One of whom was in a birthday cake that said happy birthday. Not happy birthday, Meredith, just happy birthday.
But they literally asked Jen in like a confessional, like, what do Tongan dancers have to do with Meredith? And she starts going, Tongan dancers have nothing to do with Meredith. Like, she was like gonna try to come up with some way to get there, and then she was like, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm. This is also when we see they've already shown Lisa talking to people coming in. And when she passes Heather, she really blows her off.
She really does, yeah.
Heather goes to, like, speak to her and give her a hug. And she's
like, nice to see you. Have a good day.
Uh-huh. And then when Heather turns around, she's like, okay. I can't. The way she said something where I was like, oh. Again, very interesting how, basically, considering where they are now and how the show started, that she's doing the song and dance. Do you think it was like purposeful? Do you think she's like, oh, I'm gonna bring her, I think she would be great on the show, but I'm not gonna get along with her, like, purposefully?
Maybe. Or it kind of seems like to me like a NECA situation a little bit. Like, Lisa brought her on the show, and then Heather's trying to say to Jen and all these people that we've been friends for 20 years, and Lisa's like, hold up, I just know she's a rich woman who I brought on the show. It's not like that. That's, to me, that's what I get from it. It's like, she doesn't want to, like, she's kind of mad that Heather's trying to be, like, in the know because she knows Lisa, when it's not true.
Right. Well.
Plus, she knows they're making a housewife show. They have to be drama.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is where we get to the major conflict of the episode that's going to spill over into episode 2. Jen sits down with Mary, who we already know are not good, and asks if they are actually good. In which case, Mary makes it clear to Jen that she has had 12 surgeries to get her odor glands removed. Something I have never heard of.
Two times she was dead on the table. And yeah. I was like, bitch.
This is so dramatic.
Bitch, wear deodorant. God.
And they're like, they lost her twice. And she is traumatized. I was like, why are you having odor glands removed? I mean, maybe there's probably
another reason to it, but it just sounds like such a shallow reason to be like, I'm traumatized from hospitals. Not that like you had cancer and had 12 surgeries, but you just like wanted to not sweat anymore is what it sounds like. I'm not, there could be more to it, but.
Mm-hmm. Also this doesn't make sense because you don't have odor glands that make you stink. Like you sweat and then there's bacteria on your skin that eats the sweat that gives off the smell.
Well, I don't
know. I think she explained it again later on and it wasn't odor glands. It was something else.
I don't think so. I remember it being that.
I think it had something to do with her lymph nodes or something, but I don't think you can get lymph nodes here. I don't know.
Either way.
Whatever.
Jen says that she was, the reason she smelled like hospital is because she was in the hospital for a week with her aunt, who's like a mom, who was getting both legs amputated.
Right. And I believe because she has diabetes.
Yes, probably.
Which Mary references in a very questionable confessional where she says, if she's getting her legs chopped off, it's because her diet is bad. Like, drink more water.
Yeah. I forgot how problematic Mary can be. Because I do think she toned it down a lot this season.
Mm-hmm.
Season 4. But in season 1, like, even when they show, like, the season on or whatever, I forgot about, like, all the different racist comments she makes. Even though she is black, she makes racist comments about other black people.
Yeah. So they're discussing, I mean, they're talking about this and getting nowhere. They're talking about
semantics, basically.
And yes, and like you said, neither one of them wants to apologize or take accountability for anything.
Basically, Mary says when she walks in, she tells this other girl, Carrie, that Jen smells like hospital. To which Carrie apparently goes to Jen and says, Mary said you smell like hospital.
Right.
So it's a double-edged sword almost, because Mary says Jen smells like hospital, then Jen finds it out behind her that like she said that behind her back.
Right. But then also it's like she didn't like come up to you and smack you in the face with it.
Yeah, and I don't think it doesn't sound like Mary like laughs or anything like that.
Yeah. And this girl, Carrie, was at the party.
Yeah, so they bring this girl.
So Mary is motioning for her to come over. Yes. Mary asked Carrie.
She's already mic'd too, by the way.
Yes. And this was another person that felt like they were testing out for maybe being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The woman sits down. Mary's like, did I say this to you? And then she very aggressively like leans forward and is like, yes, you did.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if she was like already listening to the conversation, but it felt like she came in hot.
But Mary's like, I didn't deny saying it.
Right. But so why does she ask if she said it to her?
Then? Yeah. I think she wanted to be like, why'd you tell Jen?
Oh, why? Because it was just very confusing. And then Mary dismisses her and she's like, why are you even here? Even though she told her to come over.
Yeah.
She's like, you're not part of this.
You're not part of this, as in you're not a cast.
Yeah. I think that's what she meant. But yeah, the whole come over here and then just be like, right, what are you even doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But Jen is saying the problem is that Mary can't take accountability.
Ironic.
Right, because neither one of them is really...
I'm innocent!
And then they hit us with the to be continued.
Jen runs away, slams the door, to be continued.
Yes. And she says, and don't fucking disrespect my family!
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is the end of the episode. They do give us it's a to be continued, so we did get a preview of the next episode, but they do a, like, sort of this season on... I didn't take notes on that because we'll be getting
it. We'll get to it, yeah. Normally, I like to take notes and talk about that part because it's like we can speculate, but we already know what's going to happen.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So we'll just not do that.
Yeah.
How was it going back to the beginning?
It was fun. It was fun to see them all at their like actual beginnings of how they got introduced to us.
before Jen sunk her claws into all of them.
Yeah. And the choices that they choose to show, like the parts of their lives they choose to show as like what they think is going to be the main storylines.
I will say Lisa is reading Lisa to me. Meredith is reading Meredith to me. Heather and Whitney are the ones that read a little different. Season one.
Well, ultimately, I think Heather wins season one in my books in terms of becoming fan favorite. So she must get better. But this episode, she was a little like thrown in with the wolves. It seemed a little bit like. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, great pilot. It was a supersized episode. That's why it was a little longer. But just, I mean, Andy has said this in the past too, but just like when they figured out that the main fight of the season was going to be that one of them fucks their grandpa and then she's mad at the other one for smelling like hospital. It's like, you got a good show on your hands.
Yeah. So,
like
these bitches are crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was interesting to go back. I didn't hate it as much as I thought I might with the Jinsha of it all, but she hasn't fully blossomed into the scream queen that she does.
And so. She also opens the episode. She's the narrator of this season on.
Yeah.
It's very giving, like, she's the main character. She has the most money right now. Like, interesting to know her demise.
Yes.
From a now standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you stuck with us to the end, thank you so much.
Yes. Please follow us on Instagram at Privileged Twinks. We have a forum there that we can basically, I just post every week. You can feel free to comment, leave your thoughts. And if you want to watch along with us, we are going to be trying to watch this every Tuesday and get it out every Wednesday, just like we do the regular season of Salt Lake. So if you want to watch along with us, watch it by Tuesday of every week, and we'll be talking about it every Wednesday.
Yes, and we'll see you then.
And make sure to subscribe so you know when the episodes come out. Leave us a review, and thank you for listening. We'll be here every week talking about season one.
Well, I've been Travis.
And I've been Tyler.
Once again, goodbye.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.